Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is the radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is March 15, 2026. We will be continuing our study of Jerry Johnson's Path to Rome. In studio with us today is Kevin Berry of Lima, Ohio. Kevin is no stranger to our program, and in a few moments we will be discussing the Bible and this subject with Brother Berry. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road, Bible study at 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 and a.m. and 5 p.m., and then we'll assemble again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and FM 104.3, or by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com and WGNZ.com. Friends, at the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. The law of the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Keep this in mind that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? This is Richard Melson, the host of Landmarks for Living. I'm glad to have you with us again on this first day of the week. It has been a while since Kevin Berry has been with us, but I am just thankful that he has taken time out of his busy schedule to study with us from the Word of God. And Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Richard. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I'm just glad that we're now in the month of March.
Oh, yes. Wow. Where has time gone? Kevin, we have been talking about, and to our Catholic audiences, we have invited priests to be willing to come on and give their side of the story. But so far, we haven't had one who has taken our invitation, but the invitation still avails itself. But nonetheless, we're going to go to the Word of God and look at what God's Word says. And we encourage you to join us by going to John chapter 8. And Kevin, here is the thrust. Does not Jesus emphasize that his word is the source of authority and it's his word that needs to abide in us?
Yes, Richard. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And again, Richard, let me just say again, thank you for having me on the program here today. I appreciate it. And I really hope and trust and pray that locally here that there would be someone that you've extended an invite to that's of the Catholic faith, particularly a priest, that would be able to come on. And Richard, we know, have a Christ-like discussion in reference to this conversation. And Richard, John chapter number 8, again, Jesus, verse 31, please forgive me. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And as a result of that, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Richard, as we study this context, we know that from the Greek word that is used there, it is talking about objective, absolute truth that is contained therein. And I'm so glad that our Lord used this phrase that we have access. We all, as believers, we would have availability to the truth. And by that statement, even those that are not Christians, Richard, am I not correct? They have access to the truth by picking up their Bible and reading it for themselves. So it is, the truth is not confined to a group of men or to a board of men. And these men, therefore, have to interpret the Bible for us. The Bible says that each of us can go to the Word of God and know the truth. That's what Jesus said. You shall know the truth. Sure. If we were to read this, continue to read this in context, we're going to see that Jesus keeps making that observation about knowing the truth, having access to the truth, believing in the Word of God. And so, therefore, when we look at the truth of the gospel, New Testament, and then the Bible as a whole, 39 books in the Old, 27 in the New, the Bible, we have, Richard, the truth. And this truth is available to anyone who would, like the Bible says in Acts chapter number 17, verse number 11, with those Bereans, that they searched the scriptures to search out for themselves to see whether or not what the apostles said was so. So therefore, Richard, yes, the Bible is right. And we just need to follow the Bible. All of us can understand. I believe someone said it's written on what, at the most, maybe 6th, 7th grade level. So we can all pick up the Bible and read it and study for ourselves and know that truth that God wants us to know, to have us find the church that we can read about in the Bible and find the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And Brother Barry, you know, take a look at John chapter 8 and verse 30. And I want you to, you know, comment on this. And it says, as he spoke these words, when Jesus spoke those words, his words produced faith. And that is still what is necessary today, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to stay here in John, obviously, but Richard, don't my mind, doesn't it just go to like other passages, like in Romans 10, 17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Richard, hasn't that always been true? Even if we go back and we look in the garden with Adam, Adam had faith because the word was given to him. It wasn't written down at the time, but Adam heard the word of God, and Adam moved. Noah heard the word of God, and Noah moved, and he believed. We have the what Hebrews chapter number 11 dedicated to the fact that there are people who heard the word, and they believed in the word. And so, matter of fact, doesn't say of Abraham, he looked for a city that that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So he had hope based upon the word of God. So if we say that we believe in God and trust in God, then we're going to look at the word of God and have faith, investigate it like God wants us to do. Faith cometh by hearing, hear by the word of God. But we will understand and know that this is the word of God.
Yeah. And, you know, as you, I want our listeners to, again, look with us in John chapter 8. We're looking at this very carefully. We're spending time purposefully here. And then in verse 31, our Lord introduces a conditional sentence. And the condition is when you have a statement and then preceding facts are joined together, you will have the following results. So Kevin, what's the condition that our Lord introduces in verse 31?
Again, Rich, again, going back to that verse again. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe. So we've established the fact that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
So therefore, these Jews believe. Now, as a result of their believing, Jesus said, if you abide, or can we say since? You abide in my word, but if you abide in my word, remain in my word, then because you have faith, because you believe, then are you a learner, a pupil, a disciple of me. But that's all predicated on back to faith that you have faith. And Richard, this is not just some blind faith that they have. I mean, in context, we know that these people understood Jesus, some believe because of the miracle, some believe him just the message in which he brought forth and proclaimed. So they knew he was not an imposter. They knew that he was someone who was real. And so therefore they believed on the words that came from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore their belief was based upon real substantial evidence,
yes,
of that fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So therefore they will now remain in that word, be faithful to that word. Reminds us of James chapter number 2, 14 through 26. And then you are now disciples, you are now learners. And then I'll stop right there.
No, go. Now, he establishes what is necessary. So then verse 32 says, here is the result of if his word, the word of Christ, if the word of God, and it's interesting, it's God's word.
Mm-hmm.
As you pointed out from the Old Testament, it's God's word. God's the one who spoke to Noah. God has spoken to us through his Son, and the Son has provided us with the word in the scriptures so that we can know. And I want you to, Kevin, to pick up on that after verse 32 and help our listeners to understand that we appeal to the scriptures for a very important reason, so that man is not doing something that is subjective, but that we can be doing the objective. So expand on that, and you have, you know, the floor is yours.
Okay, I remember when I took a textual class in school, and one of my professors was talking about the fact when you see words like you all, y'all, okay? So it has an application, obviously, to the crowd, but to the individual, okay? And so for those that have been living under the paradigm of Catholicism, we really, really want to appeal to you at this time, because I know it goes counter to what you have been brought up to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to believe. And I'm speaking this because I've studied religion, but I also know people, me being originally from Cincinnati, Ohio,
mm-hmm,
a lot of Catholics, mm-hmm, down in Cincinnati. So I, yes, had a lot of people that I grew up with. And I remember seven of them telling me, oh, Kevin, I don't need to know that because I don't need to read my Bible.
Right.
I don't need to study my Bible because it's going to be told to me what it says.
Mm.
Okay. And I just want to appeal to you all that is not from God.
That's right.
That is from me in Matthew chapter number 21. And in context there, John, Jesus asked him the baptism of John, where was it from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? So right, there's only two possible sources of authority, mm-hmm, right? It's either from heaven, or it's from men. If it's from, correct, heaven, it's from God. It's God's word.
Correct.
If it's from men, it's not efficacious. It cannot save your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling my friend, you know, I know that sounds good to you, but that's actually not what's good for you.
Right.
And everything that sounds good to you ain't good for you.
That's right.
Okay. So individually, you can know what the Bible teaches. You can understand it. So Jesus says, and you shall know, therefore, through the fruit of your own study and through studying with others, you can know the truth. It's as if Satan has took the truth in Catholicism, but for that matter, denominationalism as a whole,
mm-hmm,
and he's hidden it. He's playing this hide and seek game with, mm-hmm, the truth. And so he's getting people to think that, hey, you know, I can't understand the Bible. How many times as preachers have we heard people say, well, I don't think I can just understand the Bible. And I always ask them, well, have you really tried? Have you read and studied? And if some people say, well, I can't understand the King James Version. Well, you know what? That's why we have the new King James Version. That's why we have other versions out here. Mm-hmm. ESV is another. that you can look at, you take the these and thous out, but you can understand it. I mean, we're talking about people that are highly educated. So we can't, all of us can know and know that we know.
That's right.
And know the truth. So yes, Richard.
Yeah.
If the truth is not hiding from us, matter of fact, God wants us. The psalmist said, search me out. Search me out.
That's you right.
Know, God is not playing some stealth game
no.
with the truth and making it so difficult for us to find it. It's right here in the Word of God. And Richard, everyone that's under the sound of our voices here
mm-hmm.
can read and study and understand from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 for themselves.
Right. And I want you to keep on, but you said this 3 or 4 times, and just for our listening audience, what Kevin was alluding to are the words of our Lord in John chapter 7, verse 17. Kevin's going to come back and pick up where he left off at. But in John 7, verse 17, mm-hmm. the scripture says, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So Jesus mm-hmm. said, as Kevin just said clearly 3 or 4 times, friends, you can know. And the way you know is to take what someone is saying, lay it against the Word of God, and you can tell whether or not it is accurate. Kevin, I apologize. Go back and pick up where you left off.
Well, that triggered another thought for me, too. So, again, since we are specifically... Again, Richard, I'm glad you reached out to those local priests here in Dayton area. So, Richard, help me with this. So, mm-hmm. with Catholicism, so in their view, this is why the truth is hard to find if you're on Catholicism. So you have so-called, at times, the Pope, and when he speaks, as you said, from his seat.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Ex cathedra.
So he's speaking, and so that's supposed to be authoritative. And then you have what? The magistrates?
Magisterium. Which is a group consisting of the Pope and bishops
yeah.
together as a council.
Okay. And then you have a Catholic tradition.
Traditions.
Okay. So if you were in that, the Bible, where is the Bible? The Bible is hidden somewhere.
Right.
So only in that context is the truth going to be hard to find, because they're hiding, they're hidden, they're keeping it hid from you.
Right.
So what we're trying to encourage people that are in that faith. Now, I know this is going to be contrary to what you've been taught, but you don't need any of them. What you need to do is just read and study the Bible for yourself, because Amen. You can't understand it. So that's why Jesus spoke this, and it's recorded by the Holy Spirit. And the truth, the objective, absolute truth. And when we say it is objective truth, we means that it is not subjective, right?
Right.
It is not open for interpretation that, well, it could mean this one time, but it could mean this another time. Because we know in Catholicism, that's why they've had Vatican I, Vatican II, mm-hmm. because they changed their opinion on what they think, whatever the Pope said or whatever the Magisterium said. And by the way, maybe what the Bible says. And so therefore, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, the objective truth. And that is what is going to make it free. Not the words of men, not the constructs of men, not the traditions of men, but the absolute truth of God's word. Because we Amen. Are still, the Bible, John 12, 49, mm-hmm. is still in the Bible. He yes. that rejecteth me has one that judges him. The word.
Yes.
The word that that's, what? I. That's not what some persons have said here. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. In Revelation, when it talks about the 20, the book's going to be open. Well, Richard, that's not going to be the traditions of men. That's going to be open there. It's the book of life, if you will, and the Holy Word.
Right. So one of the pushbacks that we will probably encounter, and Kevin, explain this to our audience. Yes, we believe that Jesus directed the apostles to preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit guided them to pen the scriptures. But where does it stop? And so my question then would be, how do we help people to understand that the scriptures, God has finished revelation, and the scriptures are closed now. And so we believe that the apostles spoke. We believe mm-hmm. the apostles gave us God's word. Peter says that holy men of God moved as they were guided along by the Holy Scriptures. So let me put it to you this way, Kevin. In Catholic writings, they often say that the scriptures are dead, that the scriptures are a dead book, but that the Catholic traditions are living. How do we respond to that? Or how does the Bible respond to that?
Well, I'm reminded of Hebrews, or in the book of Hebrews, where in chapter number 4, where it says the word of God is what? Living.
Oh, amen.
So it's not some dead word. Now,
but not only living, but
active, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the side of the heart and intents of men. So, mm-hmm. yeah, the word of God is a living.
That's right.
Yeah. The Koine Greek, yeah, that language is dead, but that's a good thing, because therefore we know that the words that it meant 2,000 years ago are still the meaning that we have today.
That's right.
For instance, like the word baptisma. Mm-hmm. So we know that when we understand that word from the original language, that word could never mean sprinkling. It could never mean pouring.
Correct.
It could only mean to take a submerging effort in it.
That's right.
So the word of God is a powerful, and it is alive. It is not dead. That is false doctrine.
Amen.
That's Satan. That's Satan talking right there. But Jesus said in John chapter number 8, he is a false. He's a murderer and a liar from the beginning.
Yes.
That is a lie to say that the word of God is dead. It is not dead.
That's right.
It is a powerful word. It's mm-hmm. an active word that made me get saved, that made you get saved.
Right.
And everybody that is a member of the Lord's church, a saint, of the royal priesthood, we are all recipients mm-hmm. of this active word that God has given to us in Hebrews chapter number 4.
If the word of God were dead, then we have Peter making an interesting statement in mm-hmm. John chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
When many decided to turn their back on Jesus, and Jesus asked the disciples, will you also turn away?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's response was to say, Lord, to whom mm-hmm. shall we go? You have
the words.
The words of what?
Eternal life.
Well, wait a minute. No, the words, they're dead. You know, Peter, don't you know that the words I'm speaking are dead, have no power? Peter didn't believe that. He believed that the word had power, had efficacy. So much so that he was willing to surrender his life, turn away from being a fisherman,
absolutely,
and become a fisher of men.
Okay. And Richard, keeping with that same Apostle Peter, right? Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, mm-hmm. love one another fervently with a pure heart. Look at this, verse 23.
Yes.
Having been born again. Now, I'm born mm-hmm. again of something. Does something dead give rise to something that is alive? No. Not of corruptible seed, but what? Of incorruptible through the word of God, which what? Lives and abides forever. Because, look at verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers falls away. But look at verse 25.
Right.
But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word was by the gospel was preached to you. So again, I don't accept the words of men.
No,
I accept the words of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit says God's word is not dead.
No,
it's alive.
It's alive. And so to our friends who are listening, pay attention to what Kevin has just read from the word of God, not from some group of men, not from some council, not from some so-called think tank, but you can find this in your own Bible. And by the way, let me just say this. Even if you're reading from your Catholic Bible,
mm-hmm.
read, but eliminate the inserts that they have put in there. Just follow the text
mm-hmm.
and not read what the so-called priests have inserted. Just read the word. Mm-hmm. And if you are having a problem, say, I can't get around that, and you just want a plain Bible without any comments of men, reach out to us at Landmarks for Living, and we will be happy just to send you a copy of the Word of God. Or just come to the building, 2211 Needmore Road. And if you want a Bible, we'll be happy to give you a Bible that you can just read and not have to have anybody telling you what's said. You can do as Kevin has said, find the truth for yourself. Just reach out to us at Landmarks for Living, 2211 Needmore Road, or email me at landmarks@dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. All right, Kevin, we are coming up short on time. Man, I don't know where it goes when we start rolling. But you are correct. And we don't, you know, we're not going to rush through this point because it is a living, active Word of God that provides you and everyone with how to be saved. It is not a dead word. We do not serve a dead Savior. He does not have a dead word. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not what?
Pass away.
Will not pass away. Because his word is alive. It's active. Kevin, I'm going to let you wrap up. You got about, you got close to 3 minutes. I'm rounding up 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Thank you.
So Richard, you summarize it how you want to summarize it.
Okay. Well, Richard, again, and I want to appeal to those that are listening. And particularly, even if they are not of the Catholic faith, but even in denomination. I like to do this with people. Okay. We're living in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, though, that the Bible was not, we're not the target audience, the original audience, I should say. So if we go back to the original audience, and when they are having this word read unto them, are they having, Richard, in their minds, well, we can't understand what the Holy Spirit is telling us here. We're going to have some group of men tell us what this word means, whether they're going to be called a magisterium or they're going to be called a pope. Can you imagine that that's what they were thinking in the first century? Common sense will tell us that no. When the original audience, when these words, when they were secular letters, when they were read to the congregations, persons understood that God, through the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us, all of us collectively as a group, but also individually as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an expectation on God's part for them in the first century to understand for themselves what was being said. And then if they needed help by some other person studying with them, then that's fine. But this person wasn't elected or chosen as a board of men to say, we and we alone can tell you what the Bible says. And then, Richard, as we said, the paradigm that they have where the Word of God falls, that is foreign to the Bible. That is foreign to the New Testament. That construct was nowhere ever found. So we hope and trust and pray that as you read, again, John 8, again, look at verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe if in him, you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are just urging, we are imploring you to please understand, if you are the Catholic persuasion, that we're not speaking this in any shape, fashion, or form out of hatred. We're not speaking this to be mean. We're not speaking this to be cruel. We're not being unloving. We're not being unkind. We're just trying to get you to understand that you can study the word of God for yourself, and you can know the truth, and the truth will get you free from the traditions and from the constructs of men.
Amen. And so thank you, Brother Barry. So we invite you, as we always say, to do as they did, Acts 17, verse 11, to search the scriptures daily. We have no authority to move the divine landmarks. And so you may reach out to us. And if you have questions, please just let us know. And we would love to give you a Bible answer to your Bible questions.
Amen.
Listen to you. Look forward to broadcasting to you next week. And for you listening to Landmarks for Living.